Accession number 5385, Reel 1.
Mr. Greenberg, Reel 1. When did you first join the army, Mr. Greenberg?
In April 1940.
Why did you join?
I joined because it imbued in me to be a very good patriotic Englishman. I served in my school days in the officers' training school at the Royal Grammar School in High Wycombe, but didn't stay long enough to go through to an OCTU. We were attached to the Oxford and Bucks Light Infantry, and I was the best recruit in the rookies' platoon. went firing at the ranges at Kimball in Bucks, or near in Oxfordshire, actually, near Princess Risborough. And then, in the mid-30s, I tried to join the Artist Rifles around 1936, 1937. I had a friend, Richard Thomas, who invited me to join. I used to go to their company dinners, and they refused me on account of eyesight, which I understood. When the war started, I took advice from colour sergeants in Great Scotland Yard, who I was friendly with, who told me that they would tell me exactly when I could join up. I think I was 24, 1915, September 15, so I was 5, 24, I think, when I joined up. And I went to Edgware Drill Hall in Middlesex and swore in front of a brigadier, Johnston his name was, with my hand on the Bible, and was given 4 shillings with deferred embodiment until May the 2nd. And on May the 2nd, I took a train with probably hundreds of others, and we travelled to Sutton in Ashfield in Nottinghamshire, and we were taken to a little village, a mining village called Kirkby in Ashfield, where we did our initial training, route marches, etc. Sometime the beginning of June, we were taken to Buxton in Derbyshire, ...360 of us, put into 2 old hotels, the Balmoral and another one, I can't remember the name. And we did a couple of route marches, and then about 2 days later, early in the morning, we were asked by non-commissioned officers to pack our blankets in 5s, and somebody else countermanded that and said pack them in 10s. And eventually around 6 a.m. we all had to go down below into the gardens, which were tennis courts, and 80 names were read out, five sections of 16, and I was in the second section. I forgot to mention I was in the Royal Army Service Corps then. So there's 80 out of the 360 rookies were left behind, and the remainder went to France. I often puzzle on why I was picked. In, you know, because it all went alphabetically, and we finished up by going to Norfolk to a camp called Cranage Camp. It was more like a concentration camp in appearance, and we became attached to the 197 field ambulance, which formed part of the 18th Division, East Anglian Division. After being there a few days, we collected our vehicles. We were taken in a coach from Cranage to Feltham in Middlesex, and I became an ambulance driver. Two-ton ambulances there were. After some little while, we moved from Cranage to Linford Hall, and the officers were in the quarters in the hall, and we lived in the RSC lived in the stables of the hall. It was a very big hall, Linford Hall. It was near Munford in Suffolk, not far from Brandon, not far from all that area, see. And sometime in July, middle of July, we had an intake of RASC personnel that had been in France and came from the evacuation of Pornichet near Saint-Valery, that's it. And we received our officer, and we were a full complement of 56 men and one officer. That was the complement to a RASC complement to a field ambulance of medical corps, you know. The field ambulance was split into headquarters A and B companies, and I became attached with some others to A Company. We left Linford Hall, and we went to Hardingham Hall, which is a place called Ingham. It's about 70 miles from Norwich. And that was about the time that the Battle of Britain was on, in September. From there, we moved, just A Company and the RASC. We moved to Necton Hall near Dereham in Norfolk. During our stay there, it was during the time that Coventry was blitzed by the German planes, And we had to put out incendiary bombs that they, on their way back, the Germans had dropped in the grounds of the house. We were there until third week in December 1940. Then we moved back to Linford Hall. We then moved to Scotland. And I must tell you the move. We were in the advance party, the 18th Division, comprised of the 53rd, 54th and 55th Brigades, and we were in the 55th, attached to the 55th Independent Infantry Brigade Group. And we were in the advance party. One ambulance, breakdown wagon, the officer, Captain Cormack, with his in the staff car, and we went from Linford Hall to Peterborough, stayed the night in a school. We went on to Doncaster. We slept on the racecourse, parked our vehicles in the football ground that's across the road, across the Great North Road. The next day, we went to Kattrick, and the food in Kattrick camp was delightful. The weather was so bad, snow, ice, we couldn't travel on the East Coast. We had to go across the Pennines through Appleby and finished at Penrith. When we moved off from Penrith, I broke down. And the repair wagon put me right. I had a spare driver. I had a medical orderly. I had a gramophone going. I had drink on board. You know, we just enjoyed ourselves. And I was on my own in the ambulance. I had to catch the advance party. I went through Carlisle. I went through Longtown, Langholm, Gretna Green, and I eventually came to a crossroads, and there were quite a lot of soldiers milling about. You just imagine the hills full of white snow, there were no signposts, sheep were dotted all around and they looked black. You know, black specks. And I asked a sergeant if he'd seen the advance party of the 55 Brigade. He said, no, he said, I'm waiting for them. Well, I told him what happened. I said, where have I got to go to? He said, Lauder. I said, where's that? He said, well, two DRs will take you as far as Hoyk, and they'll put you on the right road. So I followed these two DRs to Hoyk, and they said, go straight on, you know. So we went straight on, and we got to this village of Lauder. I went to the policeman's house, and the lady answered, and I said, can you tell me where the army is, please? She said, yes, it's in the Market Square. Where's the Market Square? Just straight on your right. And I pull in there. It was just after 7 o'clock at night. Dark. And they were waiting for us. I said, haven't you seen the main party? He said, no. The main party, by the way, with the officer, Captain Cormack, arrived at 10 o'clock at night. I'd got there 3 hours before them. That night, all of us drivers and the medics slept in a school hall. In the morning, we used our billies to get snow to boil for shaving, and I spent a couple of days there in Lauder. Then I was sent to Galashiels on duty at a hospital to take an MO round to the various hospitals in the countryside, Peebles and Walkerburn, the little, you know, where small hospitals were. And I was there for a week. Then I came back and had a week's leave to get married. And I was married on the 19th of January, 41. And went back, I was married on the Sunday, went back on the Tuesday to Scotland. We never saw the asphalt in the road for 3 months. We organised dances. I went Liberty Wagons to Edinburgh. One day I took in the ambulance two officers, a major, two majors, that's right, B Company major and A Company major, to Edinburgh. They were going to be kitted out with their tropical kit. And I had my lunch in a Church of Scotland canteen in Princess Street, and the siren went, and I was the only one left eating my meal. Everybody had run out. Later that afternoon, I had some tea in the canteen, and we were visited by the late Duke of Kent, who asked me what I was doing. You know, I told him, and are you enjoying the army? I said, well, sir, I'm making the best of it. And where are you stationed? I said, oh, just south of Edinburgh. When I told my officer, I was quite elated, you know. When they came back after being measured and that for their kit, he said, that's right, laddie, never tell anybody where you're stationed. And we had quite an uneventful time. We didn't go abroad in February. We had quite an uneventful time. Early April, we went to the Midlands, and I found myself in Walsall. The division, the 80th Division, had been moved down there. It was spread over the Midlands, and another division, I don't know the name, the number, had moved up in our place. When we were at Walsall, had to go into Birmingham because the Germans were bombing Birmingham, and we had to help with the wounded. I developed impetigo for some reason or other. So I was off sick for a few weeks with blue gentian violet over my face, you know. And later that summer, we went to a little place near Rugeley called Colton Hall. My wife came to see me the weekend before the Russian war started, which was the 22nd of June, I think, when Hitler attacked Russia. During that week, having nothing to do, the medical corps officer said, do some work. For your vehicles, make stands for your vehicles to run on instead of them getting bogged down, you know, if it rains or anything, because they were 2-ton ambulances. So I was using a shovel, and people were using picks, you know, to pick the earth and that. And all of a sudden, I was hit on the head with a pickaxe by a corporal. I said, what have you done, Wally? All the blood was pouring, you know. And they took me across to the hall, and our major, Taylor his name was, we used to call him Flopsy because of his big feet, he rubbed his hands and he sewed my head up, just here. And I said to him, can I go up and see my wife? He said, no, laddie, upstairs in the sick bay. And the officers were doctors, and they came round looking every hour to see if I'd developed concussion. And I was the object of, when a brigadier came round, they had a look at me. I was given 10 days leave. We were engaged in manoeuvres and such like. We had a nice evening. Our major was being promoted to a colonel, leaving us, so I went in a 3-ton lorry to Birmingham, because I'm in the jewellery trade, and fixed him up with a brandy flask and something else. And we had a nice party. The officers were on guard, and and we celebrated with him. Soon after, this was August. Soon after September, yes, we were given leave. And then came back, and then the middle of October, we were given embarkation leave. It was a week, and I remember being at home, and we had a little party, one or two friends, and I said to my wife, I'm 26 now, I shall be 30 when I come back. Don't move out of the house. Nothing will happen to it. They lived in the West End of London, you know. Nothing happened to the house. And I came back 30 to the very week. Not the day, but the very week. October the 17th, 45.
This was just some premonition of yours?
Premonition, yes. Just a premonition. Just a premonition. And we left Penkridge, which is in Staffordshire. We went to the headquarters about a week before we left the beginning of the last week in October. We left at midnight and marched about a mile down to the station, and we got in a troop train. My wife's parents had been up, and that, and I had a bottle, gave me a bottle of whiskey and a half a bottle of peach brandy and some food. And I put my pack on the rack of the train, and we didn't know where we were going. All of a sudden I said, "Oh, it's raining." It was peach brandy raining. The bottle had broken or something. We arrived early in the morning at Avonmouth, where we boarded a troop ship called the Oronze. And, of course, we were in the holds of the boat, and we made fun of seeing items left by Italian prisoners of war who left some utensils, tins and things that they'd been using when they were prisoners. You know, they'd come to England. The boat had brought them to England. We sailed from Avonmouth, and we wondered why all the pipes were lagged and we had tropical kit. We sailed to Scotland, to Gourock. And on the Thursday, evening, a convoy of 8 troop ships carrying the 18th Division left Gourock.
Were you still on the Oronze?
Yes. We sailed somewhere. Must have been cold, you know, towards the pole a bit. Came down. But on the Sunday morning, our escort of 1 cruiser and 5 destroyers, about 10 o'clock in the morning, vanished. And in their place, there came the American Navy. 2 battleships, cruisers, 12 destroyers, 2 aircraft carriers, and the planes took off from the carriers and gave us a lovely acrobatic display in the air. And we thought, well, we're so safe, you know. We arrived in Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the 7th of November. We transferred onto American troop ships. The 197 Field Ambulance went on to the USS Leonard Wood. There was the West Point, the Orizaba, the Mount Vernon. I can't remember the other 2. There were 6 in the convoy. And we sailed on November the 10th or the 11th for somewhere. We went to Trinidad. No shore leave. And then we went through the South Atlantic, and we had a good time. The food on the boat was first class. The weather was glorious. The we heard that a German armed raider had been sunk by a British cruiser, and that was true. The Dorsetshire, British cruiser Dorsetshire, was 50 mile ahead of the convoy and sank a German armed raider in the South Atlantic.
Was that the only event?
The only event.
The only threat from the enemy, as far as you were concerned?
Yes. When we were in the South Atlantic, we didn't have an escort, really. I noticed all the refuse of the boat was ejected at evening fall, so they would be knots away, lengths away. Is that nearly finished?